Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also obey your will. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. A reading from 2 Timothy. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure: if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord.
We continue this morning our journey through the book of 2 Timothy, one of the pastoral epistles. We'll be coming back to the second section of chapter 1. Today we look at the first part of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Share in suffering. Twice in today's passage, the Greek word for suffering, that Greek verb kakopatheo, shows up. And twice, another verb for patiently enduring suffering shows up, hupomeno. And if having four separate Greek verbs that speak to suffering or its endurance were not enough to paint a powerful portrait of pain, we have these evocative images as well: a soldier suffering in battle, an athlete suffering in a race, a farmer enduring back-breaking labor, even a criminal who is put in chains. Portraits of pain. That's what you might call today's passage from 2 Timothy. And pain is a topic worthy of our attention, isn't it? Pain is important. Pain is a part of the human condition, and it can be a great teacher. After growing up in California, I attended a college out in northeast Massachusetts, and I came to know a new kind of pain, the pain of a northeast winter. Some of you might be familiar with it, but I had never experienced anything quite like it before. I'd known, say, some winter days up at Mammoth Lakes in cold climates in California, but never something quite like this. Some days it was so cold that no matter how much you bundled up, when I would go outside, it would find that one area of exposed flesh and just hammer it. Make you feel like there were pin pricks into your skin. And the cold in the Northeast is humid, you know? So it has this sense of burrowing into your bones. There's a depth of the cold out there. And it's so overwhelming, it grabs your attention, that in a particularly cold day, the kind where the stuff in your nose freezes, the stuff in the sides of your eyes freezes, where your hair, if it's a little wet, freezes, you step outside and all you can think about is the cold. You can be having a fascinating conversation on the meaning of life with other college students, and the minute you get out that door, all you can think about, especially if there's a wind chill, is cold. But praise God for that pain, because it alerted a California kid, hey, danger out there. Don't wear shorts. Instead, wear long pants. Dress for the cold. Don't wait out too long, because there is very real danger. Pain alerts you to that so you can avoid further harm. The way that, for example, touching something really hot or getting a hand close to a hot stove alerts you, wait, this is danger. Pull that hand back lest you get hurt. Praise God for pain and the great teacher it can be, but there's a paradox of pain, and the paradox is this: a force that's so helpful can misdirect us. For some of the most meaningful, rewarding, life-giving experiences we can have involve not turning away from pain, but paradoxically moving into it, going towards pain, not away from it. Today, we as a church family just celebrated Travis's baptism. I have a wet shirt to show for it. We adopted him as a part of this particular family of faith, welcomed him as one of our own. And when we tell this newest member of our family, hey, it's a dangerous world out there, so whatever you do, avoid pain. Don't take risks. Don't embark on great adventures in sports or in work or in, heaven forbid, relationships. By all means, don't fall in love, Travis. Because if you do, Lord have mercy, does pain await you? Would we tell him that? Not, of course, if we loved him, if we wanted him to know the fullness of life. We would tell him, yes, be aware of risk and danger. Be alert to your body and to its alerting you of pain. We would tell him, but some things are so great, they're worth going through a little pain, maybe even a lot of pain, to get there. And Travis, we would say one of those things is Christian discipleship. One of those things that it's worth embracing, even if it involves some suffering, is receiving the teaching of Jesus Christ and getting to pass that teaching on to others, as Timothy is called to do in today's passage. One of those glorious things worth some pain, we might tell Travis, is having a life wrapped up in the plans and purposes of God, discovering the riches of Christian service, knowing salvation in Jesus Christ, understanding that God's love touches you as surely as that water just touched your head. If nothing else, this world will challenge you in so many ways, and hanging on to the faith will be challenging. In the world, there are so many who will consider your faith archaic, irrelevant, out of step with others around you. It will carry the pain Christian discipleship will of being engaged in relationships with each other, with God, with your neighbor, and relationships we know can call forth pain. Christian discipleship means being engaged in not only personal transformation, but social transformation, being involved in issues like racism, housing, environment, and immigration, doing it out of love for God and neighbor and of God's call to do justice. And yet it will bring, we know, resistance and pain. That's part of the game. But don't let the hard, we would all tell Travis, don't let the hard keep you from the riches of that Christian life, from the glory it has for you. And that's what today's passage is all about. Okay, it may not be for a little child of just 2 years of age. It might be for someone who's older, but Timothy is famously described in the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy as a younger leader, as someone in the church who is younger than the pastor or than Paul, as he is imagined writing to Timothy. And there is exhortation to this leader imagined to be in the life of the church and newer to the life of discipleship and Christian leadership, especially to hang in there. For the glories, we read, are well worth the pain. And to drive that point home, Timothy's given three different illustrations of how pain is often embraced in the interests of something glorious. The third of the illustrations that were given is the farmer. The farmer, we are told, knows that hard work is necessary if you're going to enjoy the first fruits of the harvest. I love that we involve some of our children, Jude among others, as well as Isaiah, soon to graduate, and other children of this congregation in the planting of our community garden, in some work we did over with removing vines right in front of the north side house so that they can experience a little bit of that sense that a farmer knows. You do some work, you plant, and then tomatoes, chili peppers, other great things come that you can then enjoy. You can enjoy the first fruits, and the farmer knows, yes, there's some pain for the serious farmer, back-breaking pain to get there, but that's how you know the harvest. A second metaphor today's passage employs in illustrating worthy efforts that involve pain is athletic competition. We read, in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules, and of those rules, for top performers especially, is pain. In his book, The Boys in the Boat, Daniel Brown describes the pain an oarsman must endure and learn to embrace as a path to victory. Brown notes how a rower competing at the highest level is trying to take in so much oxygen that his lungs scream in pain. His muscles are worked so hard that lactic acid fills them, and that makes his muscles cry out in agony. And then finally, there's the skeletal system that those muscles are connected to, and that undergoes tremendous strain and stress in rowing. Brown writes, the first and most fundamental thing that all novice oarsmen must learn about competitive rowing is in the upper echelons of the sport. Pain is part and parcel of the deal. It's not a question of whether you will hurt or of how much you will hurt. It's a question of what you will do and how you will do it when pain has her wanton way with you. The great oarsmen, of course, like the team Brown profiles from University of Washington, who defeated the Germans to win the gold medal at the 1936 Berlin Olympics, they are those who do not flee from such pain but embrace it as part of the path to glory. And what a glorious victory that team that Brown profiles knew when the University of Washington team defeated Adolf Hitler's team on his own turf. Back in 1936, the athlete knows pain, it's part of the game on the path to glory. But finally, the first and foremost metaphor that we see lifted up in today's passage is not the farmer, and it's not the athlete, but the soldier. Share in suffering, we're invited, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. Roman soldiers were famous for their commitment, for being able to endure pain. Not only did they have to risk suffering injury in battle and endure the long training and back-breaking work that could involve, but up until the second century, historians tell us, Roman soldiers were not allowed to officially marry or to carry on business on the side. They had to have a kind of single-minded devotion to the emperor and not let anything get in the way of that. It was a life of sacrifice. Why embrace such single-minded dedication? For the glory, of course, of being part of something great. Glory, we read, is worth some pain. Now, even Jesus, who admonished his disciples to turn the other cheek and to put down the sword, would sometimes use battle imagery to make his point, for his listeners were familiar with the portrait of the soldier as we are today. And the New Testament reminds us in passages like today's text, embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ, committing our lives to Christ, allowing the plans and purposes of God to fill us, even if that is a loving and nonviolent undertaking as opposed to a violent one. Still, it can be compared to a soldier who suddenly places allegiance to his or her commanding officer above all else. That's what Christians do. That is what we all did in making the oath of allegiance we made a short time ago in saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. Only we do it not for any emperor in the first century or today named Caesar or another human name. We do it with the Prince of Peace, whose name was Jesus Christ, and whose ministry was not about the concentration of power, but rather its dispersion, especially to those poor and marginalized and cast out. The soldier image, it is a powerful one in reminding us some things are worth pain, struggle, and sacrifice. Look, this passage from 2 Timothy reminds us to the soldier in embracing the life of faith. Look to the soldier. Stephen Pressfield argues in his book, The War of Art, that not only the Christian disciple, but the artist can learn from the soldier when it comes to perseverance in something great. Pressfield writes that in my younger days dodging the draft, I somehow ended up in the Marine Corps. There's a myth, he writes, that Marine training turns baby-faced recruits into bloodthirsty killers. Trust me, the Marine Corps is not that efficient. What it does teach you is how to be miserable. And that is a great lesson. This is invaluable, how to be miserable. He says, for the artist especially, Marines derive perverse satisfaction from having colder chow, crappier equipment, and higher casualty rates than any outfit of dog, faces, swap, jockeys, or flyboys, all of whom they despise. Why? Because those non-Marines don't know how to be miserable. The artist, committing herself to her calling, has volunteered for hell. Whether she knows it or not, she will be dining for the duration on a diet of isolation, rejection, self-doubt, despair, ridicule, contempt, and humiliation. The artist must be like that Marine. She has to know how to be miserable. She has to love being miserable. She has to take pride in being more miserable than any soldier or swabby or jet jockey, because art is war, baby, and war is hell. That's true, isn't it, of those of you who have been engaged in art or taken on some bold endeavor or dared to head into new territory. There is pain that comes with it, and somehow you've got to make peace with that. And one of the reasons I love having the artists we do in our congregation is I've always looked at Christian discipleship as less of a science than an art, you know? It's an art of discerning God's call on our lives, individually and communally. It's an art of discerning where in the whole realm of where God might lead us to act we are meant to be. How do we follow Christ in our own particular way? Sure, there are guidelines, the commandments of God, the call to love God and love your neighbor, the call to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. But what does that look like together? How can we listen to one another and together sense and follow the Spirit? That has long seemed to me to be an art. And so I love the artist's reminder that there might not be a hard science to it, but it is a journey that can be glorious. And that is certainly the journey of Christian discipleship, hearing, being filled by the grace and call of Christ, and then following where it leads. Is a little suffering worth that? Absolutely. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Embrace the misery. Embrace the single-mindedness of Christian discipleship, and don't let pain throw you off course. For many of us, we have known pain this last week in hearing yet again of a mass shooting, something that breaks our hearts, and we lament for not only for the victims of this shooting, but for all victims of racism and the disfigurement of humanity that that kind of an event creates. And so as we seek to be a part of God's work, of engagement in the world, it will break our hearts, but it will also give us life, being wrapped up in the plans and purposes of God. So we do it. Do it for a glory greater than something as fleeting as military victory. Do it for an even greater victory, the victory over death accomplished by God through Jesus Christ. That is the victory we cling to. That's the victory on which we rely. Remember Jesus Christ, today's text counsels, raised from the dead. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ. As we were just reminded in baptism, we believe we not only die with Christ, but we rise with him to new life, die to sin, rise to all that is good. Sin is blotted out by the power of God at work in Christ, and we're made new, raised to life with God and to a new creation, healed and restored by God's hand. The glory of God and the renewal of the earth and all things, it's promised to us. We have it now as a foretaste, and for such glory now and still to come, isn't some suffering worth enduring? like a farmer laboring in the hot sun, or an athlete competing for the crown, or a soldier willing to be miserable for that promise, that great promise of glory. So soldier on, friends, soldier on. That's the counsel of 2 Timothy today. Soldier on into that suffering, not away from it. Soldier on, not by your own strength, but by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Soldier on for the glory of life in Christ, life eternal. It is so worth it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen.